kissing friends, feasting for phenomena founded from philanthropists feeling fantastic. This is Good Job Brain, your weekly quiz show and offbeat trivia podcast. Today's show is episode 157. And of course, I'm your humble host, Karen, and we are your peppy platoon of Poindexters, pleased to present plenty of pleasurable podcasting.
I'm Colin.
I'm Dana.
And I'm Chris.
That first alliteration is from our friend Louise, who wrote in.
That was one of the longer ones we've ever had.
Good job.
Yeah.
And this episode is brought to you by Harry's, the destination for quality and affordable men's and women's shaving needs. Women have to shave too, but just not really on their face.
All the men are like, clarify.
What? We are mammals. It's nothing
it's
you can
true.
Do. Yeah.
But you have to run away from that as a woman. Okay.
So. You don't have to shave, but if you do feel like shaving, Harry's is a great. Well, you know, I don't want to put pressure on anybody.
It's true. I like that.
Yeah. You can always check out Harry's, focused on providing a great shaving experience for a fraction of the price. Also, they have really cool packaging and really cool stuff. We really like the brand. I mean, I guess we're brand nerds, so we like the branding is really classy.
It's very clean design.
Yeah, and then all of their equipment is German engineered, and they have like awesome shaving cream. And $15 gets you a set that includes handles, three blades, shaving cream, shipped to your door in a fancy package, and you can even customize your own shave subscription plan according to your hair growth and preference. I've used Harry's on my legs.
Yeah.
I gotta keep them aerodynamic for my races.
Right. Yeah. Every millisecond counts.
Yes. And of course, you can visit Harrys.com, H-A-R-R-Y-S, Harrys.com, and use the promo code BRAIN to save $5 off your first purchase. And we have, I went to go to our P.O. box, our mailbox, and we got a whole bunch of stuff. Mail day.
Ooh.
Kevin sent us a game, and if you are a fan of our regular segment, Brad Pitt or Lasers, you will like this game called Timeline. It is kind of like a card game, kind of similar premise as Brad Pitt or Lasers. You get these random things, and you're trying to put them in order of when they're invented
order.
Or born. Yeah, and they're just really random, and there's like expansions. There's a general version, and there's like you know, really specific ones, so go check it out. It's called Timeline, and thank you, Kevin. Thanks to WeveGotEars.etsy.com.
This was crazy.
For sending me.
You personally.
Me personally.
Yeah.
A handmade mouse ears that you know, from Disney.
Like, generic mouse. Not any specific mouse.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Just
they're mouse ears.
Yeah. You know, mice have ears.
Mouse X.
That's right.
Yeah.
Large,
yeah.
round ears.
Ears. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Two circles.
But.
They're but orange bird.
They are orange bird.
Yeah.
It was handmade from orange bird fabric. And it has like a little orange bird bow. So thank you so much. That is my favorite character. A lot of people are actually tweeting and Facebooking. They're like, we keep seeing orange birds. Like,
Bader Meinhof.
I see it.
We talked about it. Now you see it. And now you can appreciate its origin. So thank you so much at WeveGotEars.etsy.com. And we have another special letter, Chris.
It's a listener letter. We're going to read some of it. It's written... it's handwritten on loose leaf paper. Dear
college ruled.
College. No, this is not college ruled.
I don't think that's college ruled.
This is not college ruled. This is regular ruled.
Oh, okay.
Middle school ruled.
We'll have to talk about the difference between college ruled
and Yeah. Dear GJB, hi. I'm Olivia, an 11-year-old listener. I was picked to read this letter, by the way, because I'm the closest thing we have to an 11-year-old girl.
Yes.
An 11-year-old listener. I've listened to almost all your podcasts in a little under a year. I really like intricate words, learning foreign languages, reading and writing, and dancing. She almost put a period, I think, at the end of writing. No, there was a period after reading, and then that's crossed off, and then it says and writing. There was a period, and then that was turned into a comma, and dancing. We appreciate your thoroughness.
What a busy 11-year-old.
Yeah. I know you guys get tons of fan mail and requests. Tons is...
It's relative.
Thank you, Olivia.
Did you mean to write tens of fan mail? But I think it would be pretty cool if you use my alliteration in your next podcast. Well, guess what, Olivia? That's going to happen right now. And her alliteration is this. Welcome, quizzical and quabbling queer queens and quackas quitting Quidditch. I really like quitting Quidditch.
What's quacka?
Oh, I don't.
Aren't they animals?
I'm not
sure.
Yeah. I like quitting Quidditch as a phrase, actually.
Quitting Quidditch.
Yeah, just
to
too much.
To focus on your magic
focus
studies.
Focus on the owls. Yeah.
wow.
And someone in Olivia's life is going to sit down with her and explain what queer queens means.
Yes.
So,
not just strange royalty.
Exactly. Yeah. But we know it was written in that spirit. Are we looking at a quokka?
Yeah. The little kangaroo-y.
They're a little cute little. Yeah.
Oh, they're from Australia.
Yeah, they're marsupials. Mm-hmm.
By the time you receive this letter, Olivia writes, I will have gone to a superhero trivia at my local library. Well, I hope that worked out. Yes.
Oh, my God. I want to go to a superhero trivia. I would destroy everyone.
All the children.
It looks like Olivia's going to do pretty well because she's already studying up and asks, did you know that Batman doesn't have any actual superpowers?
Mm-hmm. I did know that.
Yes.
Thank Colin.
Yeah, well,
none of us wanted to say it.
Is cash money a superpower?
No. Batman is the greatest detective, so I would say he does have an above
but it's
average
not superhuman.
It's right at the limits of human capability.
Yeah. Right. Oh, it's not superhuman.
Well said, Dana.
Yeah. Right.
I watched a documentary and they talked about that.
Olivia attaches a massive list of weird facts. It is totally impossible to sneeze with your eyes open. Is that true?
As a kid, I used to try and like hold my eyes open.
I didn't hold them open.
But your reflexes.
It just hurts.
Yeah.
This is good. There is a 99.5% chance that mermaids and unicorns are real. Because only 0.5% of the ocean has been explored.
Oh.
Yes.
And a host of other things.
So I would go mermaids, yes.
Unicorns underwater.
I don't think the underwater unicorns is going to happen.
What's of a unimaid?
We may have to cross off the...
Mercorn.
Mercorn?
Mercorn.
Mercorn is still...
Oh, it's a narwhal. Right.
It's a narwhal. It's a narwhal.
Oh, wait. A narwhal is a mermaid and a unicorn.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well,
Mercorn.
Yep. And
there's no human part though on the narwhal.
The heart.
Oh, the soul.
That poor thing. Yeah.
Well, thank you very much, Olivia, for this lovely, lovely letter.
And some more housekeeping, some really cool updates. So last episode we talked about fantasy/fake food. Tamara wrote in, she was very, very pleased that I talked about foods that you didn't know that were fake or imposter foods. Such as, like, wasabi isn't really real wasabi. Yeah. And Colin, I blew your mind with the fake blueberry.
Yeah.
The little blueberry bits. Yeah.
Those little injections of blueberries.
Yeah.
Yeah, just die. So Tamara said, it reminded me of some of the fake craisins my mom was eating. They were just dyed blueberries. but also, just about every single fruit-flavored oatmeal has dried apples in it. If it's blueberry flavor, it is blue dried apples.
Mm.
Banana flavor is yellow dried apples. Peach flavor is pink dried apples.
That makes so much sense. It really does. Like, the texture is totally the same. You can't tell.
Fleshy.
That's why they always use the word flavor on the front of the package. You know, it's blueberry flavor or whatever.
I was like, oh my God. Mm. The peach is peach. It is peach flavored apple bits. Also, another follow-up on something we talked about before. David Murray from UK said, I saw this in Time Out London, which I believe is a publication.
Yes.
And wanted to share. So remember, Chris, when you talked about the Death Ray building?
I do.
There were two. One was in Las Vegas, the Vidara, which got fixed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And one was the walkie-talkie building in London.
In London.
Which also got fixed.
Yes.
But now there's another problem with the walkie-talkie building. What happens because it's curved?
Yeah.
It creates what they're calling the downdraft effect. So wind would come, hit the curved surface, and get redirected down. And so people on the street are getting blasted by this building.
Wind from above.
Yes. This building is just
This is
of
why we don't have curved buildings. Like, why don't we have curved buildings?
Like,
let's just build one and find out.
They
it's
didn't
like,
have
well,
the right...
let's see. Yeah.
So girl,
like...
we didn't notice these problems on the little tiny foam model.
Yeah.
School for ants. Well, thank you everybody for your updates and your fan mail. And without further ado, let's jump into our first general trivia segment, Pop Quiz Hotshot. Okay, here I have a random Trivial Pursuit card and you guys have your barnyard buzzers. This Trivial Pursuit card is from Pop Culture 2.
Okay.
So I'm hoping we'll do good.
All right.
Okay.
Here we go. TV, Blue Wedge for TV. What actor was hired to fill the void left on the original Law and Order by Jerry Orbach's departure? Oh, Colin.
I think that was Dennis Farina.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Cool. He's a veteran. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can picture him.
Really? Yeah. Oh, I guess like more of a copy. Mm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And he was on Crime Story years ago.
Jerry Orbach. Lumiere.
Nobody can replace Jerry Orbach in my heart, yeah.
You know, his eyes are donated.
Yeah.
He donated his eyes to the city of New York.
Oh. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there are two people in New York.
With his eyeballs?
Yes.
Jerry Orbach's eyes.
Yeah, Jerry Orbach's eyes. Do they get a whole pair? Or you just get one?
You just get the one that you need, I think.
I think so.
Maybe
too.
You need both. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
When you donate eyes, they're wired left and right, but like you just the eyeball organ, can you plop them in either left or right sockets?
That's a great question.
Excellent question. Probably.
Yeah, because it's nerves.
I would guess probably. Or you just flip it over, you know, you just rotate it, right?
Oh, yeah. But then you would see everything upside down.
Yeah, well, sure. Well, that's what glasses are for, though, Chris.
Oh, true. Yeah.
What?
Wow, glasses.
I thought we're supposed to be a facts show.
I would have to, if I were to make an educated guess, well, I couldn't do that because I'm in no way educated. If I were to make a from-my-butt guess, I would say you can swap your left and right eyeballs.
Yeah, that's a really interesting question.
That is an interesting question. Where is the hardware?
Yeah. If you, dear listener, have performed an eyeball swap, please enlighten us.
All right, next wedge, pink wedge for Fad. What color dresses do members of the over 50 Red Hat Society traditionally wear for official outings? I actually know this. Data.
Purple.
Yes. Not red.
What is this?
That is a red herring.
A red. It's like a club for older ladies.
Yeah. Huh.
They do. You'll start seeing it everywhere.
Now that you know
about it, look for like a hat. It has a purple sash around it.
Right.
Yeah. So you'll when I do.
Now that I'm pushing 50. Is what you're
no,
saying.
No. Oh, like yeah. Now you'll see
just
it.
Just like in the community. When I run the Disneyland Tinkerbell Half Marathon, they're famous. Like they just have like all of the Southern California Red Hat Lady Society. Line up and they cheer for you. It's very cute.
I believe Marge joined a parody version on The Simpsons even. Yeah. Yes.
My mom talks about joining sometimes, but she won't. I'm sure she
will. Why?
She's not going to do it. but she wants to. I think she likes the idea of it.
All right. Yellow wedge for Buzz. What song did Colin Powell, donning a hard hat and strapping a hammer to his belt, parody at a 2004 Jakarta security conference? What a Chris.
16 tons?
No. Oh, that's a good guess.
I'm trying to get the hard hat and the hammer.
Who was it?
Colin Powell.
YMCA. He said Colin Powell.
It is YMCA.
Yeah, well, that's a good guess. YMCA.
Is it
why did he do that?
Why is this?
It doesn't
why
seem professional.
Is it colon?
It's weird.
He pronounced it colon.
Colon.
Like the organ.
He,
yeah.
He
like
spells
the
it.
Intestine?
He spelled it the way I spell my All name. Right. He just pronounces it differently.
You know, I had a coworker who another colon that's C O L A N.
Hmm.
And it's colon. Really hard
that's
not
colon.
To say colon. Colon. Yeah. So continental. All right. Purple wedge for music. What Bob Marley classic offers the comforting line, "Little sister, don't shed no tears."
Mm.
Dana.
No tear. No woman, no cry.
Yeah. Everything's gonna be alright. Green wedge for movie. What movie featured Rosie O'Donnell as a cop undercover at a sex spa in full dominatrix regalia?
Oh, what was this?
Is it Exit to Eden?
Correct.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yes.
And Dan Aykroyd?
Yeah. And Dana Delaney, maybe?
Yeah, she was the mistress or something.
Whenever anyone says Dana Delaney, which is not that often in my life, but whenever anyone says Dana Delaney, like my brain follows it up with Animaniacs.
Yeah. Oh, Dana totally insane. Last question, sports and games. What sport could boost its U.S. fan base by letting players, quote, use their hands, according to ESPN, the magazine?
Oh, interesting.
Chris?
Soccer?
Must be soccer.
Yeah.
It's dumb.
Okay, whatever.
What a weird question. But that's the whole point of the game.
I think that's the point. It's supposed to be a very kind of cynical thing. It's like, Americans will only watch it if you could use your hands. I feel, though, that like this card is probably 20 years old. Because like soccer in the U.S. is far more popular now.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
It seems like an old card.
Cool. Good job, brains. So this week's topic is inspired by, lots of listener contribution today from Natalie. And she wrote in and she said, so it's really, really sweet. It was really touching. She says, I think everyone is beautiful in their own way. With this being said, I'd love to hear a podcast about different beauty regimens from across the land.
Wow.
Though we don't have a water cooler at my job, I like to always bring something interesting to our time clock chat to get the day rolling. Water cooler, is that... What is that?
Like around the water cooler at the office.
It's like is that an idiom?
It is an idiom.
It's like the break room or something like that. That's
water cooler
hanging out away from your desk with your coworkers.
Right.
Or like you talk like the whole thing about TV shows being water cooler shows, like shows that you have to watch because everyone's talking around them.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I don't see a water
It's
an old expression. Yeah.
Got it.
Right. It's an older office. I've been in offices that had them.
Yeah, me too. But you probably have like a drinks refrigerator and like a snack cupboard.
Yeah. You know, around the snack cupboard.
Yeah. I mean, if you work around
the vitamin water freezer.
Yeah, that's the modern equivalent.
Yeah.
It's kombucha.
Around
Chris.
Kombucha. All right.
We have the cold coffee keg tap. So I guess
of course you do.
Just substitute that for water cooler. Coffee.
What did you guys have the other day? There was like they were making crepes in the office or something.
Oh yeah,
like that.
For dinner.
Yeah,
they had people come and make crepes.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Sure. The catered.
.com.
Yeah.
Oh, .tv. So yes, Natalie. This week, we're going to honor your suggestion. It's a very, very awesome and actually pretty interesting topic. So this week, we're going to talk about beauty.
I know you don't lose it. This new Snoop. Come on, baby boy, you got to get into it.
I will start us off. I have a quiz for you guys about home beauty remedies.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay. You know, these are things that you may have heard passed down or seen on the internet or, you know, read in a magazine, perhaps.
Right.
Things that may or may not, in fact, be valid. Mm-hmm. Home beauty tips, remedies. So I'll give you guys the statement, and you tell me if this is true or false.
Oh.
And these have been evaluated by professionals and, dermatologists and things
like
that.
Are we all going to work together? How are we going to do this?
Thumbs up, thumbs
down. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, thumbs up, thumbs down.
So I'll read the questions. You guys give me thumbs up or thumbs down for true or false. All right, here we go. True or false, you can use Preparation H, the hemorrhoid cream, to treat bags under your eyes.
You know, it's funny because I know hemorrhoid is something to do with butts.
Sure.
But I don't know what it is. Do you guys actually know what it is? I actually don't know what it is.
Well, that might factor into the answer here. Okay. So
Colin will explain it.
Everyone says true. This is true. Yes, you can use Preparation H. So a hemorrhoid, Karen, at its simplest, it's like a swollen blood vessel, basically, in your butt region,
bundle area.
Your bunghole.
You don't want it.
Yeah. By the hole.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not
or in the tube area.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's not like a zit on your butt. I thought it was a zit on your butt.
That's like a carbuncle,
cheek.
Maybe. No,
that's called a zit on your butt cheek.
Yeah. And the primary treatment for hemorrhoids, you know, medically is just to shrink them. And so, you know, Preparation H and other hemorrhoid creams, basically it's a small amount of, you know, cortisone in there. And the same action will, in fact, shrink and tighten up if you've got bags under your eyes from a night with no sleep. This is like an old show business trick. They use this a lot for talk shows and things like that.
Do people have hemorrhoids that much that there's so many creams that are made? Or do you think now the hemorrhoid cream like supply is for, you know, people use it for
so
eye bags.
The dermatologists do say this isn't something you should use regularly on your eyes as a treatment, you know, but once in a while, if it's an occasional thing, it will in fact work. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is what I've been told before, but it's like as you get older, the your the walls in your body start to break down a bit. So older people get hemorrhoids kind of a lot. That's a normal thing.
So it actually directly...
And pregnant women can get it,
pregnant women get them, too.
So it directly affects the blood vessel, the skin.
It tightens up the skin. It has, like, a cortisone, like a shrinking action, basically. Okay. Yeah, and then the thinner the skin, the more effective it is, generally. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Don't do it too much. Don't get it in your eye.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
That's the scary thing.
Yeah.
True or false, you can use toothpaste to treat a pimple.
Oh, man. I do this, actually, but I might.
Karen and Dana say true. Chris says false. This is true.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is true. Dries yes, you can put a little bit of toothpaste on a pimple. It will, in fact, dry up the pimple. Most toothpaste, it's both the mint action and also the fact that a lot of toothpastes have basically, you know, clay or clay-like substances in them, and they both will work to dry up a pimple.
Huh.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Huh.
True or false, you can use Monistat, which is a yeast infection cream treatment, to treat dandruff.
Oh, I've never heard of this.
Oh, that's interesting, though.
I don't know why you would, but
dandruff,
you get hit in the shoulders,
might be like a yeast kind of infection, like a fungal thing.
But I think dandruff is drying of the scalp.
It's,
it might be like a bacteria thing.
Yeah, fungus or bacteria. I know they're different, but
I thought Monistat came like a.
He said you can use it.
None of these products are marketed.
Hold on,
Podcat is in the building.
Since there've been a bunch of truths, I'm going to say it's false since there have been two truths in a row. I'm going to game it.
Oh yeah, okay.
Chris and Dana say false. Karen says true. This is generally believed to be true.
Ah,
yes.
Wow.
Yes. Now, this is where it gets even more interesting. There are a lot of – there's a sort of an underground belief out there that you can use Monistat or yeast infection cream to treat hair loss as well. So there are a lot of women primarily, but there are a lot of people who have used this either on bald spots on their head or to treat dandruff. So the second part
– Oh. My God, Kat, you're eating our listener mail.
Oh, no!
The cat ate the listener mail. What are you doing?
My dog ate my listener mail.
Yeah.
My dog ate my homework. My cat ate my listener mail.
The second part, the jury's still out on that one, whether it can actually regrow hair. They've not done any clinical trials.
Okay.
The only evidence for this so far is anecdotal at best.
Yeah.
But they do say that the antifungal, kind of antimicrobial nature of it, it can, in fact, treat dandruff.
Man.
Now, there are easier ways to, and probably cheaper ways to treat dandruff. But it does work. It would work.
Huh.
Well, if you're looking for a multi-tool,
that's true. Yeah.
Right, you know. And if you have some left over, it's like, well, the yeast infection cleared up, and I'm just, just sitting around.
Don't want to be wasteful.
Yeah, what could I use it for?
True or false, you can use diaper rash cream to treat acne. True or false, diaper rash cream.
Yeah, I don't have much experience
necessarily.
With
diaper rash cream in my house, but...
Is it so it dries
I'd rather
up,
use toothpaste.
It makes it so it's not moist. Is that what it does?
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's...
Diaper rash creams are heavy with zinc oxide.
Yes.
Oh. Yeah. So then probably yay?
True.
Yes.
All right. Everyone says true. Mm-hmm. This is false, in fact. Yeah, dermatologists do not recommend using diaper rash cream for your acne.
Wait, but does it work?
But does it work?
It does not. It does not on balance work because the zinc oxide is actually so heavy, it can be more likely to clog your pores than any treatment that the zinc oxide might beneficial have. Yeah, you should use acne medication or toothpaste.
Okay. Got it.
Or toothpaste.
Last one. Mm-hmm. Last question. True or false? You can use Pepto-Bismol.
Okay.
Okay. Off the shelf. Pepto-Bismol.
The pink stuff.
The pink stuff for...
acid. Stomach acid.
Heartburn. Diarrhea. Yes. Upset stomach. You can use Pepto-Bismol to shrink your pores. You can put it on your face and shrink your pores.
I have a big pore problem. I've never heard about this before.
Shrink this mole on your pores.
I don't think you should. I don't know. I'll say false.
Chris says false.
Sounds made
up. I want it to be true so then I can try this at home.
Karen says true.
I'll say False.
Dana says false. It is true.
Yes. Yeah. Let's go get some Pepto-Bismol.
To the extent that it is true, it's because of the salicylic acid in the Pepto-Bismol. Oh, okay. And in fact, that's what's in aspirin. Oh. So, you know, aspirin is that this, you have also, I hadn't heard this before.
You can put that on your face.
You can put aspirin on your face as well, also to tighten pores. And this is true. It will have that effect.
Rub it on your face?
You know, you could like crush it up and, you know, into powder and make it into like a little paste or something. Huh. Right, right. And again, you know, you want to be careful with how often you do this and the amount that you use, but the salicylic acid and Pepto-Bismol does have a pore tightening effect.
I was waiting for Cheese Whiz to show up somewhere in this place.
I feel like I'm okay with the size of my pores.
Okay, yeah. You're comfortable.
Your pores are okay.
Yeah.
I have big pores.
You have man pores.
Pore esteem. Yeah.
Because you're
thanks,
a man.
Dad.
Man pores. That's right. Yeah.
All right. Well, now you guys know if you have various creams, ointments, liquids, lotions, you can put them
all over your body.
You can sometimes put them on multiple parts of your body.
Yeah, right. Mostly just your face. So just go through the cabinet, take out whatever it is,
put it on
your face and see what happens. You'll be beautiful.
Probably be fine. Yeah.
I will say, as a blanket closure here, please consult a dermatologist.
Well, speaking of crushing things and put it into a paste and then put it on your face, I have researched two very unusual beauty rituals.
Oh, yes.
And this is around the world. Both of these are facials, like they're facial treatments, things that you put on your face to make your face look better, younger, smoother, whatever it is.
Sure.
Beautiful.
Uh-huh.
And they have, they both involve animals.
Great.
I'm on board. What do you mean?
So the first thing is called the Uguisu No Fun. No fun.
Okay.
No fun.
Sounds great.
Fun. In wind?
No, as in poop.
Oh, as in poop. Yeah.
Fun. Well, in Chinese, it's fun.
Oh, okay.
Uguisu No Fun. Well, there's a spoiler. Yeah. It's poop. It is nightingale droppings.
Okay. All right.
And it is from Japan, and this is not a new thing. This has been in practice for years and years and years since the Heian period in Japan, which is about 800 AD. So, long time ago. So, it was introduced to Japan by the Koreans, and back then, cultures of that region would use guano and different types of excretions from different animals to remove dye, from fabrics, and using it to make fabric patterns. The bird droppings, very specifically the Asian nightingale droppings, it could remove stains. They noticed it could remove stains from silk garments. So very very kind of finicky fabric.
On delicates.
Delicates. And so they're like, hey, let's put it on our face.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Well, so the
life is short.
It's funny because being now here in America, like, people want to be tanned, right? Yeah. You want to go get a nice tan or you put a bronzer to look sun-kissed, to look healthy. You have that idea of being outdoors and healthy. In other parts of the world, it's the opposite. You want to look porcelain. Yeah. You want to look very, very pale.
Because it means that you're rich and you never go outside.
Yeah, you're not working out on the fields.
You're not working the farm. Yeah.
And you know, growing up in Asia, that is, you know, there's a lot of skin bleaching products and stuff to make yourself very, and I'm naturally tan, so I never, I just never fit in. But anyways, so knowing that guano, and especially this particular nightingale droppings, brightens something like silk, they're like, hey, let's put it on her face. What's going to happen, right? Mm-hmm. And women used to mix it up, the poop. Uh-huh. They would dry it, right? They would have cages, and they would scrape off all the poop. Ugh. And, you know, just so you know, when I say bird poop, birds poo and pee, it's all in that thing.
Yeah.
They don't have two systems.
Yeah, it's the white and the brown, it's all in that one
It's all in one system. So they scrape it, they dry it, they crush it into a powder, and they mix it with rice bran. Okay. And then, you know, mix it with some water, and you put it on your face.
Uh-huh.
And this is also called a geisha facial because they wear a lot of heavy makeup.
Yeah. Mm.
And back then, some of their makeup has some really bad stuff in it, like lead.
Like lead. Yeah.
Or zinc that would cause disease, would sink into your pores. So in order to wash that off, they use this kind of the bird dropping facial too.
And it didn't really work that well because, like, by the end of their lives, geisha would have some pretty messed up faces.
Yeah, a lot of wrinkles. Yeah, it's kind of a shame.
Yeah.
I think it's better now because we have technology.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, I'm right. Lead directly on there.
Exactly.
Yeah,
right.
Yes, yeah, it's safe now, yeah.
And so what does it actually do? What is this? What makes this bird dropping facial work?
And does also, it work?
Yeah, so does it work?
It does work, and... Well, a lot of countries have followed suit and are offering the services today with bird poop facial.
So you smell like bird poop, but you look pale.
Radiant.
Okay.
I'm unsure whether or not some of these salons around the world are approved. You know, I don't think there's any like legal, you know,
licensing for,
yeah,
this,
yeah, for this kind of stuff, policing this kind of stuff. But nowadays, when they collect the bird droppings, they actually shine ultraviolet light to the poop to kill the bacteria.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay.
Good.
Okay.
So there is that level of sanitation. Back then,
it was all fair game.
Yeah, back then it was lead makeup
good
and
stuff
bacteria.
And the bad stuff. Yeah,
good stuff,
yeah,
and bad stuff.
Yep, clean off the lead with with fecal bacteria.
There's two major players. There's urea,
urea,
and guanine.
Huh. Okay.
Guanine.
Mm-hmm. So would bat work as well?
Yeah. Well, I know people used to, like, a lot of different cultures would use bat guano for a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
But this, it seems like it's just this one
a dipping
bird.
Sauce
as
a,
yeah.
for mozzarella sticks.
Yeah. 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 Sure.
The guanine produced like a iridescent effect. And then the urea actually, I mean, it smells bad, but it does lock in moisture.
Hmm.
But the thing is, you can actually find these compounds by themselves, and there are some in our everyday products.
Mm.
Okay.
They're not directly from birds.
Yeah. Okay.
And something that is more, I would say, current and does not have a root in tradition, snail facials, where you go in a place, they put a bunch of snails on your face, and they crawl on your face.
What?
And secrete slime, and that slime is good for your skin.
Yeah.
Where is this?
I'd rather have the preparation H.
Like,
they're popping up everywhere in the world, but it is predominantly in Thailand. Oh. But the whole thing is started by Frenchmen. French love their snails.
Yeah.
And you can just eat them when you're done.
Right.
Sure.
So, well,
and they're already
these are special
close
snails.
To your face.
These are special snails. The two Frenchmen who pioneered this, they imported 100 of their special snails, and they eat chemical-free organic vegetables. They live a pretty cool life.
Free-range snails.
Free-range snails, and then they climb on your face, pretty much. And so the mucus... We've heard a lot, you know, we've talked a lot about snail mucus. There's a lot of weird magical properties in it, right? It produces the purple dye is from snails.
This is like a new nightmare. I can feel it like coming
slowly. People do used to, even the ancient Greeks used to crush snails for like inflammation on your skin. But this is a different matter. This is actual live snails climbing on your face.
Mm-hmm.
And again,
not on my face, just so we're clear. Just so we're clear, on somebody's face.
Yeah.
And again, like this fluid, the mucus, you can either get it from them sliding across your face, or you scare them, you threaten them.
No.
Yeah. You want scared snails skittering across your face. Wait, so...
Like psychological horror? Like,
what does it do? What does it... It has to do something amazing.
You know, people are saying it's really great, you know, tightens your skin.
It's all very hand-wavy.
This is the other thing.
Special snails.
Okay, so snail. You know those, like, pedicures that the fish come and nibble on?
Yeah.
They eat the dead skin off.
They eat the dead skin off. So, technically... They don't have teeth. That's why they're just like kind of suck off the dead skin.
Okay.
Snails technically have teeth. They have 14,000 microscopic teeth. So I think part of that is exfoliates as it slides across your face.
Okay.
And I'm not...
It's got mild abrasive.
So basically, this snail is biting your face.
Well, it's like scraping. Yeah. Mm-hmm. My only concern is, Dana, I remember you talked about how the little boy... brought home a snail from Hawaii.
And then invasive species.
It becomes an invasive species. So I think that is the concern right now, is like these snails aren't local.
Why are they doing it in Thailand? That's such a specific...
I don't know. Well, I think because Thailand is a place where a lot of spas, a lot of beauty treatments and stuff like that, and it's probably cheaper. But Yeah, I mean,
the snails will work for cheaper. Yeah,
that's the scary thing is, what if these snails get loose and screw up the local ecology? So there you go.
Oh wow,
some fun facials for people to try, adventurous souls to try. The snails I can't do. I can do the bird poop, no problem.
Yeah,
I would do that one.
I don't want live animals. I don't like snails. I don't like slugs.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll just be old. That's fine.
Yeah, that's okay. I'll age gracefully.
What you guys don't know is actually it's a giant snail. So it just sits directly on your face like a face hugger from Alien.
I'd rather have that than multiple snails on my face. I'd rather have one fat snail.
Oh, one big snail.
Yeah.
Like a Jabba the Hutt snail.
Yeah.
So Lake Merritt in Oakland is kind of near where I live. It's full now of giant sea slugs.
Whoa.
You can see them. They kind of swam in recently, and they've been reproducing.
How it's big like are hundred, they?
They're like...
Oh, they're big.
They look like they would weigh 2 pounds if you pick it up.
Oh,
it's really
God.
Big. I didn't pick any up, but they look that big. Huh. And they're like everywhere. They're eating the plants, so the lake is getting clear in certain areas.
But is that good or bad?
I don't know. So I was reading an article, and they said that... climate change, so it's warmer now up there, so they've come in and they have like this big boom and bust cycle where they lay hundreds of eggs, thousands of eggs, and then all of a sudden they'll just all die off. So I don't know what that's going to look like when that happens.
When it's full of dead sea slugs.
But they're also called sea hares, like sea rabbits, sea hares.
Because they're that size?
They're big, and their little stalks are really big.
Oh, that's kind of cute. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's intense. But now I have a really clear picture of what a giant snail would look like.
Right. Like that with a shell.
With a shell. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would not put it on my face. That long story short, I wouldn't put it on my face.
This is all to say.
There you go.
They're really big.
They're really big.
Oh my God, that's a lot of eggs too.
They're everywhere.
I got a clue.
We should go on a field trip. I'll show you.
Oh, speaking of field trip, attention. I hope this. I don't know when's it gonna happen, but the corpse flower, the giant corpse flower, in Berkeley, is going to bloom. Any day now.
They're just on a watch for it.
I think there is a live cam.
Yeah.
And you can.
Does it smell before? Do you think?
I think it smells probably intensely when it.
And how many years between blooming?
It's like 50.
It varies.
Yeah.
It varies. Oh, yeah. Okay. It's like it could be as few as 10. It could be 50 years. Yeah.
Wow.
Right. Gonna smell real bad. So get over there.
smell
it. Bad.
Smells like a dead body.
So I decided if the topic was beauty, we had to go back and talk about Beauty and the Beast.
Okay. Of course.
Which I'm sure we've mentioned it multiple times.
A tale as old
over
as
the
time.
Years. Indeed. you'd be surprised. Two women are actually at the center of the creation of the story that we know as Beauty and the Beast. I know, right?
Wait, you're not talking about the Disney movie.
I'm talking about the classic story. Like, where did it come from? So La Belle et la Bête. I actually have a French video game version of Beauty and the Beast, which is called that. And it turns out that that's very appropriate because the story itself came from France.
Gaston.
Gaston came from Les Américains. Yeah. Yeah. So the version that we know the best, which was written as a fairy tale for kids, is by Jean-Marie Le Prince de Beaumont. So that is a woman. And she published it in 1756, but she copied it. She copied it from a novella for adults, which was written by Gabrielle Suzanne Barbeau de Villeneuve in 1740.
Whoa.
Okay.
Yeah, both women.
Pseudonym.
Yeah. Both women, no pseudonyms. And originally for adults and then sort of rewritten for kids. But, however, the actual original story that, you know, very clearly that Beauty and the Beast was modeled after was a French version that was, you know, written, was the actual original story was first published in the year 8.
Wow.
8. Because this was the approximate publication date of the narrative poem Metamorphoses by the Roman poet Ovid. In the year 8.
No.
Pre-orders started in the year 7.
Yeah.
So one of the many stories that were sort of pulled from Kickstarter. Yeah, it was pulled from myth, but Ovid sort of rewrote them. One of the stories that he kind of first laid down in this book or this whatever it is you buy in the year 8, based on oral mythology, was the tale of Cupid and Psyche.
Oh, I love that story.
Yeah. So, you know, you go back and look at that story, which I will briefly summarize now.
Yes, please. Yeah. I don't know.
So there were a king and queen with 3 beautiful daughters, and of those daughters, the most lovely and best of all was the youngest, and her name was Psyche. And she was beautiful and beloved, and the other two were a couple of jerks. Townspeople thought that Psyche was so great that they actually started worshiping her because they thought she was so cool, instead of worshiping Venus, the actual god of love and whatnot, goddess of love. Venus got very mad at this, and so she told her son, Cupid, to go shoot Psyche with one of his love arrows to make her fall in love with something horrible, like something hideous. Unfortunately, Cupid, in a rare moment of screwing up, accidentally scrapes himself with one of his own arrows, causing himself to fall in love with Psyche. So, skipping ahead some stuff, Psyche gets sacrificed to the gods, but ends up not getting sacrificed to the gods. She ends up in a magnificent house, and she is told by a disembodied voice to enjoy herself and, you know, just have fun in this house. And she's given a lavish banquet.
Oh.
And they're like, oh, be our guest.
Yeah.
So, she ends up, let's say, in a long-term relationship with Cupid, but she doesn't know who he is because he does not want her to... Because, of course, you know, people would get mad and find out, but he does not want her to know who he is, so he only comes into her bedroom at night, and she can never see him. She thinks that he must be a horrible monster, because otherwise, why would he be hiding himself? And there had been some stuff about, oh, you know, you're going to end up with this, you know, horrible serpent or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Right. But turns out, no, she busts in on him when he's, like, asleep with, like, a lantern, and it's like, oh, it's actually a super hot dude. and a lot of other stuff happens. I'm skipping over a lot of torture. But they do end up together, so it's very nice. So this tale of Cupid and Psyche...
That is very Beauty and the Beast.
It is. It's super Beauty and the Beast.
Her sisters convinced her to find out who it is, too.
Right.
They were like, oh,
yeah, the sisters play into it, for
sure.
Yeah,
so that's why.
So through the millennia, this sort of, you know, it just gets passed down. It spreads throughout the world. It becomes this archetype of a fairy tale called the Animal Bridegroom Tale. And there's many, many different versions of it.
Yes, I've heard of the hedgehog one.
Yeah. There's
the seal one.
In the Grimm fairy tales, we have the Singing Springing Lark, which is about a woman who gets married off to a lion. And there's one from China. Like, there's one from China. Even the one from China, like, begins with... And there was this rich man, and he had 3 daughters, and the youngest was the most beautiful. Yeah. So that's how you can generally recognize these archetype stories, because that's kind of how
they
begin.
For the motifs, and yeah.
And the man ends up somehow getting in bad trouble with a beast, a lion, a bear, a dog, you know, whatever it is. Because maybe steals from him or
did something bad.
And the animal ends up betrothed to the guy's youngest, most innocent daughter. And she goes to live with the monster, but it turns out that he's actually a cool guy. And, you know, somehow she falls in love with him. And then at the end, it is revealed that he was an enchanted prince. Just so many variations on this super, super old and all just being pulled
from
Cupid and Psyche.
I did not realize it was that old of an archetype.
Yeah. But, you know, if you think about what the story is kind of saying, it's like this is something that young girls have faced throughout the centuries of, like, being married off to somebody who's very young, and they would perceive that person to be a horrible monster.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of telling, it's telling girls, for better or for worse, like, oh, but if you love him, you know, that's how you tame the beast, right? Like, that's how you kind of, like, you know, make him a cool guy again. So in Beauty and the Beast by Beaumont, which is the one that really is where we get Beauty and the Beast from, the one that was for kids. Yeah, merchant, 3 sons and 3 daughters, had some sons in there. The youngest daughter's name is Belle, and that's specifically called out as being, that's not her actual name, it's just that she was so beautiful, they all called her Belle, which means beauty in French. Right. She likes books. Like, uh-huh. this is not something Whoa. Made up for Disney. Like, this was from the original 1700s. She likes books. Doesn't want to get married.
It was a woman wrote a book for a bunch of women. Oh, yeah, and it's like, true. She's a little mouse. She likes books. She likes books. She loves reading. Mm-hmm. She reminds me of somebody.
right. Yeah. Writing and stuff.
Yeah,
sure. So, very much like in the movie, her dad finds the castle one day, goes in, you know, he eats the food that's inside, and he takes a rose, because she was just like, oh, dad, just bring me back a rose. So he brings her back this rose. And, of course, you know, the beast says, uh-huh. you are a thief, you know, but you can send your daughter in your place to be imprisoned instead of you here in the castle. So he does, and she's treated very well, and, you know, all the books you want to read, whatever, and they fall in love. That she has the magic mirror. The magic mirror is in the
and that's in the
is
original?
In the 1700s. Yeah, yeah, right.
Wow.
She sees that her dad is sick. She asks to leave. She leaves, and of course she's dressed in, you know, finery now, and she's having a really good life. And her sisters, they kind of figure out, like, oh, wow. we gotta break the two of them up because she doesn't deserve to be this happy and rich, and maybe one of us can get in there somehow. So they basically convince her to stay longer. In the hopes of, like, ruining what's going on with her and the beast. She agrees, but then, you know, she stays for a week longer, but then she finally looks in the mirror, and the beast is there dying of heartache. Mm. And so she rushes back, and she's like, I love you. It turns out he was a prince under a spell. And, of course, as always, I want to end on this. There is a punishment for the villains in the original story, and a moral.
The sisters?
Yeah, like any good fairy tale. Yeah, the evil sisters who tried to conspire to...
And these are usually gruesome punishments.
There is no Gaston, there is no suitor, but the sisters are the okay.
No
the
love
villains.
Triangle.
What happens to them?
So the fairy that originally enchanted the beast in the first place, who is now like, okay, well, the beast has now gotten over his thing, you know? He's not a jerk anymore. Right, yeah. She says to the sisters, as to you, ladies, I know your hearts and all the malice they contain. Become two statues.
Oh.
But under this transformation, still retain your reason. You shall stand before your sister's palace gate, and be it your punishment to behold her happiness. And if it will not be in your power to return to your former state until you own your faults. But I am very much afraid that you will always remain statues.
Oh.
Pride, anger, gluttony, and idleness are sometimes conquered, but the conversion of a malicious and envious mind is a kind of miracle.
Wow.
Dark. That is dark.
Good night, kids.
So basically, they're just statues witnessing
the conversion. She's like, until you own... until you realize that what you did was wrong, you will be statues, and you will transform back to humans once you realize what you did was wrong. But I bet you're not going.
Well, at a certain point, they're going to envy that their sister can walk around.
And
die.
If anything, it's just going to feel.
Yeah. That's like a Twilight Zone ending.
All right, let's take a quick break. A word from our sponsor.
And now, literally, a word from our sponsor. Unkempt. 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 Meaning, having an untidy or disheveled appearance. Origin. Un. Meaning not. Kempt, from the older word chem, or comb. Use in a sentence. The woolly mammoth kept his looks from becoming unkempt by grooming with Harry's shaving kit, and now he's the hit with all the lady woolly mammoths. Get $5 off by heading to harrys.com and using the promo code BRAIN. And you too can say goodbye to looking unkempt and be a hit with all the lady woolly mammoths.
And we're back. This week we're talking about things that are beautiful, or beauty, to be beautiful.
So I have a segment for this. So recently, within the last year, I heard about this measure, this unit of measurement of beauty, like the Helen. The Helen
interesting.
Named That's cool.
Helen of Troy, the most beautiful woman in Greece or in the world at that time. And they said she was capable of launching 1,000 ships. And that was the Trojan War. Like, they came for her and they sent 1,000 ships. And so a millihelen is beautiful enough to launch one ship.
Oh my God, that is so good.
That's great. That's funny.
Yeah. So what is...
I don't think there's any way
it's
to...
tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah. There's, it's a joke, but it's...
There's funny... so they're like, oh, okay, Helen launched 1,000 ships, and they also burnt down that town, so there's all these equivalencies for, like, what... How does it convert? So, like, for instance, like, a nano-Helen, this writer said, was send an old man on a canoe trip and build a good roaring blaze in the fireplace. So, beautiful enough to do that. Or a... okay, so or a gigahelen, which is launch the equivalent of 1 trillion Greek warships and destroy the solar system with your beauty.
I like how it's two parts.
Yeah.
The amount of ships launched and how much burning is possible.
It's from a work from the from 1592, and the line was this the face that launched 1,000 ships and burnt the topless towers of Ilium? And so that's why there's really two parts to it, about launching a bunch of ships.
I like that.
And then burning something down. Like, that's how beautiful.
I don't want to say it's fake science. I like the kind of, like,
it's like fantasy science. Yeah.
One Helen. So of course Helen is one Helen unit of beauty.
Yes, she has one Helen unit.
Yes, actually, there's so more than 1,000 ships launched, like, at that point. So she is actually. What was it? They did the math, and it was like 1.23.
It's like a kilobyte, right? There's slightly more than 1,000 bytes in a kilobyte, right. So she's slightly more than one Helen.
I like the old man in the canoe.
Yeah. Somebody was like, a pico Helen is barbecue a couple of steaks and then toss an inner tube in the pool.
That's the length you'd go to.
Maybe it has to do with, like, power. Like, how much power does your beauty lend you? So, like, if you were... controlling someone else with
converting
your beauty,
it into
making
jewels,
them do something. Money, yeah,
and lots,
yeah.
Then we get power,
jewels and jewels, both kind of, yeah.
And we have one last segment, Colin. You got pads out.
I got the pads, paper out, and pens. We're gonna close.
Suns out, guns out, pads out.
I'm going to close with a mini beauty-themed version of a quiz I've done before called Person, Place, or Thing.
Oh. Okay.
So I will tell you a thing, process, procedure, object. You tell me, is it named after a person, named after a place, named after a thing?
This stuff.
Okay. Yeah. So this is beauty-themed. So this is all sort of around the idea of like going to a spa, kind of the wellness-themed.
Okay.
Because, you know, relax your body, you're more beautiful outside. So let's start with the word spa itself. The word spa, S-P-A, is spa... You know, health spa, any kind of spa, is a spa named after a person, a place, or a thing.
That's a great question.
That is.
I feel like I've heard this before, but I don't remember.
All right, answers up. Karen says place. Chris says place. Dana says place. You guys are correct.
Yay.
The town of Spa, Belgium. Belgium or not Belgium. Yes, the town of Spa, Belgium, known as far back as the 1300s for their healing mineral healing mineral water tree springs.
Belgium.
That's what I was hoping was the explanation.
Yep, famous, as I say, since the 14th century.
Yeah.
Since Roman times, people would make visits here for the healing properties. And the name, of course, is just directly trickled down from there. Spa, spa, spa. Let's go to the spa. We have our own spa. We don't need you, Belgium.
Let's go to the spa.
While you're at the spa, you may indulge yourself in a nice, invigorating dip in a jacuzzi. The jacuzzi, the whirling hot tub, if you will. Is it named after a person, a place, or a thing?
This is a rumor. I don't know if it's true.
Let's see.
Answers up. Dana says person. Chris says person. Karen says person. You guys are all correct. Yes. You guys are all two for two. Okay. Candido Enzo Jacuzzi. What an awesome name. Yes, he was an immigrant to America.
I heard the rumor that he went to Cal. He went to Berkeley.
I don't know.
That's the rumor I heard. That's why I know he was interesting. Back. I don't know if it's true.
Okay.
I guess we'll never know.
No,
I wonder if that family name still exists. I've never met a jacuzzi before, a person. Jacuzzi.
Well, like there's the winery guillotine. Here in Jacuzzi in Napa. Winery.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh. Jacuzzi.
Yeah.
Maybe that's where they went.
Maybe.
Made a lot of money.
Let's all look it up.
Oh, I wonder if it's the same family.
I don't know.
Might be.
Like the guillotines or whatever.
Right,
the
guillotines, right. Guillotine winery.
The jacuzzi family did settle in Berkeley, California.
Yes!
Yes, he was born in Italy. In,
it was not a rumor.
Where's Jacuzzi Stadium then?
Yeah, I know. It's just a big hot tub. Yeah.
They say that he invented the whirlpool bath that bears his name partly for treatment for his son, his young son at the time, who had rheumatoid arthritis.
Oh.
That's nice.
Yes. While you are in the process of bathing and washing and spying and jacuzziing, you might use a loofah to exfoliate and scrub off that dead skin. I'm sure you have all seen these.
Mm-hmm.
Is the loofah named after a person, a place, or a thing?
I think I know what it is.
Answers up. And you guys are all three for three. You all say thing. It is a thing.
Yay. The gourd.
The loofah, commonly spelled L-O-O-F-A-H, is named directly after the loofah plant, L-U-F-F-A. The loofah. It is a member of the cucumber family.
Yes!
More broadly, the family that has zucchini and gourds and pumpkins. And when it's younger, you can eat it. It's an edible plant, but if you let it grow and dry out, all the skin and the flesh all falls away, and you've just got sort of that fiber husk left. Yeah.
And then you can even see in like the actual real dried loofah that you can see the seed chamber.
Yeah.
Like a cucumber.
I was reading about the process for creating them. It's the very last step they have to do is shake out all the dried seeds once the thing is done, because they're kind of knocking around in there. All right, last one. Little bit of a twist here. This is just an answer you'll give me.
Okay.
The word sauna is the only everyday common English word to come from this language.
The word sauna.
Sauna.
Is the only everyday common English word to come from this language.
Yes. What country is the home of the sauna?
Oh.
Wow. In Chinese, we call it sen wen nuan. But that's phonetic.
It's an old word. They're still quite popular there in their home country.
Huh.
And...
Hold on.
Oh, sorry.
Where do you guys think saunas are from?
I think Scandinavian.
I think so too.
Like
Sweden.
I like the way you guys are thinking.
Where is it? Oh, you know what? I'm just gonna. Who cares? Go for broke.
Go for broke, Karen. I love it. Answers up. Karen, with the correct answer, says Finnish. Chris, for the record, also has the correct answer. Dana said Sweden. You guys are all in the right region. Yeah, Finland. Yeah. Finland is the home of the sauna or sauna, if you prefer.
Cool.
According to the BBC, 99% of Finns take at least one sauna a week.
Whoa.
Wow.
It is extremely common there. Many, if not most, homes will have a sauna room in the home.
Oh.
Yeah.
If 99%.
Wow. Yeah.
True.
Yeah. All right. Well, good job, guys. I feel reinvigorated already.
Yeah.
Place, person, thing, Finland.
You are all more beautiful.
Thank you, Colin.
That's the official name of your quiz. Yeah.
Place, person, thing, or Finland.
Now I have to work in a Finland question every time.
Yes.
Yeah, yep. That would be awesome. I want to know more about Finland.
Yeah. All right. And that is our show about beauty. Thank you guys for joining me. Thank you guys, listeners, for listening. Hope you learned a lot of stuff about bird poop, Beauty and the Beast, Pico Helen. And also things that you can use in your house for beauty regimen, but don't try everything. You can find us on iTunes, on Stitcher, on SoundCloud, on Spotify Mobile, and on our website, goodjobbrain.com. And we'll see you guys next week.
See ya.
Bye.